Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast today. Well, it is cloudy Thursday here in New Jersey. I don't know where you're at in your part of the world, what the weather is like. It is cloudy, but somebody, I want you to text me, tweet me, or something, and let me know if the sun is shiny where you are. Now, you can absolutely tweet me to hashtag Coach Lalisa. If you're on Facebook, you can hashtag Coach Lalisa, and you can, I'm setting it up right this second. And if I was on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter this morning, but we'll try to get Twitter tomorrow morning. OACHLISA. So hashtag Coach Lalisa and tell me what the weather is like. I'm going to say it's sunny, it's rain, it's cloudy here in New Jersey. But you can hashtag me and tell me what it's like in your part of the country. And I'll be able to go to that hashtag and see what everyone has to say. So if you're listening to the radio, if you're on Facebook, from Facebook, hashtag Coach Lalisa, and tell me what the weather is like. Tomorrow I'll have Twitter, hashtag Coach Lalisa set up, and you can tweet it out because tomorrow, Friday, is our small business shout out day where you get to shamelessly promote your business and or service if you have a business and or service. So you want to get ready to call in to do that. You'll have 2 minutes or less. You'll call in at 347-945-7991, which is the number to call in and speak to the host, Coach Lalisa, right here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you were with us yesterday, we had our awesome guest, Dr. Laureen Wisham. She was here yesterday. You can go to her website, drlaureen.com, and you can find out about her book. Some of you were wanting to know about her book. And so you can find out about getting her book right there. Well, we are grateful that you're tuned in again this morning. And we want to talk to you about a very important topic for women who are in business. Yes, women business owners, entrepreneurs. That's who we're here to help. And our class will be starting next week for me. Some of you know I teach business courses at one of the colleges here in New Jersey. So I look forward every semester. I've been teaching business classes since 2002. Well, January 2003. I graduated with my MBA from Fairleigh Dickinson in December of 2002. I graduated at the end of the December semester, and I did not even have the formal ceremony yet, but I finished all my courses. I received a letter in the mail that indicated that I had completed all requirements to get a degree. That's a wonderful feeling. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, they send you that document. I framed it. I still have it in a frame today. Well, I took that piece of paper. I was already working at the college. I took that piece of paper. I got out of my office. It came in the mail. I got out of my office. I walked over to the business department. At the time, I was working in special programs in the yellow area. For those of you who know the college, I was over in the yellow area on the third floor. I walked over across the hall. Now, I had already prepped the staff over there and had gone over and networked with them, talked to them, built a rapport. This is long before I got the degree. From the moment when I started working on the degree, I walked over and I began to talk with the business department. And I had indicated to them that I would be interested in being an adjunct professor. So when I got that document, I made good on my threats to work for them. I walked over to that department. I handed them the sheet of paper. And at the time, Dr. King was the, Dr. Michael King was the chairperson of the department. And I'm so glad he was still there, because I probably would have had to start all over with the whole rapport building and the networking. But this is a real example of the power of networking for success. So for those of you who have tuned into this show, you want to learn how to networking can be successful and important. I walked over with that piece of paper, and I said, I'm interested in teaching. Here's the document. And that was in December. The college closes in December for about a week and a half around Christmas. I gave the paperwork about 3 days before the college was to open back up. I got a phone call at my home, because, of course, you're on your resume, you got your home. Well, the college had my number anyway. I had been working there for 4 years, 2 years, and I got a phone call from Dr. King saying, would you be interested in teaching a semester in January? In the spring semester coming, would you be interested in teaching business 101 class? And I said, yes, absolutely. I was, I said, wow, that was quick. That was fast. But think about it. I had already done the networking. I had already gone over and built the relationship. I had already gone over and built the rapport before I even got the degree. So, what I'm saying to you is that networking is not something I'm giving you today, I'm going to give you networking tips of success. These are tips that I know they absolutely work. So a lot of times in networking, you want to start as early as possible networking in the place where you want to be. Okay? Start networking with the people that are in the places where you want to be. And just very simple networking. Nothing too intrusive. Okay? You don't have to hit people over the head. So that's what I want to be talking to you about this morning. Tips for networking. Well, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in another day. We're so happy that you could be back with us. Those of you, if it's your first time tuning in to the Coach LaLisa Show, please, please, please stay with us because we have many exciting things coming up just for you. We have some exciting things coming up for you. We will be having ticket giveaways at many of the empowerment conferences that are going to be happening and launching not only in New Jersey, but around the country. Around the country, we are going to be looking into partnering with different people to get complimentary tickets to these powerful conferences and events that will help grow and sustain you and your business. Now, most of you who've been tuned in for a while now, you know that as an entrepreneur and as a radio show host, one of the areas that I deal with as it relates to the entrepreneur is the entrepreneur's personal development. As a life coach, that's my field, is your personal development. And so we're excited. So networking is so, so important. If you are a business owner and you feel that you do not have time to network, or you feel that you can't afford to network, is that there is a price, there's a cost associated with a lot of networking, because sometimes you have to attend a networking function. It could be a dinner, could be a seminar, could be any type of networking event, and typically there is a fee. Well, the people who are holding this networking, they incur certain charges at the restaurant. They charge you to use their facility. If you go to a hotel, they also charge you. So many places that you go to try to network, there may be some associated fee with it. And so here's where you have to really get with your accountant, make sure that you're writing off these activities. They are a part of doing business. There is an expense that is associated with you doing business. So you get to write that off as a business expense. Here's the thing. You cannot be a successful business person without networking. I don't know who's putting that information out there that you can. I don't know where they're at, and I don't know what product they have. But everybody, even the drug dealers, network. Don't you see them standing on the corners? Why do you think they stand out there? They're networking to get their product into the hands of the people, the buyers, okay? They're in sales, and they're looking for buyers, and they have to network with the buyers. The buyer walks by, how you doing? You look nice. Oh, baby, whatever. And the next thing you know, you're a customer. I worked in purchasing for a while. Close to 4 years, I was working in a very, very busy purchasing department here in a manufacturing and engineering company here in New Jersey. Well, they were an engineering company. They just so happened that they manufactured the products that they engineered. So I got an opportunity to see all of that because I'm pretty nosy. I guess if you send me into a company, do not do not, hear me good, do not expect me to stay in my own little corner, in my own little chair. No, 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 no. Any company that I've ever worked in, that's one thing I had, except for my very first company, I didn't get a chance. Well, I did a little bit of it, but I didn't really realize what I was doing. But every company that I've been in since that, since I was, 19 or so, when I go into an organization, I'm pretty much going to network and throughout the whole organization. I want to know everything that's going on. I want to know every department, who's running it, who are the people who work in that department, what do they need, what do they want. And so I was working in that purchasing, the engineering company, in the purchasing department, which is also another great department to work in to learn a lot about the company. Because when you work in purchasing, every department who orders anything from sticky notes to cleaning supplies to jet tickets to travel to a business conference, every purchase goes through the purchasing department. And every order has to be placed on a document they call the purchase order. And I was the file person. I was the only file clerk for the entire department. So every single order, there were thousands of them. Every single order, I had to touch it. And so I know about all the different departments and what kinds of things they order. Well, if you are going to network and be successful, and as a business owner, you must network. Whether you do it on the golf course, whether you do it at a PTA meeting, you could do it at a grocery store, and I know there are formal networking events, and I do value those, I do attend those. But I also want to bump it up a notch for you and also let you know that networking doesn't stop at so-and-so's networking event or the Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit and Business Expo. The networking cannot be relegated to a one-day or one-evening event. If you are doing that, you're almost committing networking suicide because it doesn't stop at it's because you gave your ticket in or your name was on the roster and you showed up. So if you just tuned in, welcome to the broadcast. This morning I'm talking about a very, very important topic for business owners and especially for women. We're talking about women business owners. I know you want to be a successful businesswoman. I know you want to your business, that is your dream, that is your passion, that you want that business to be a success. You enjoy. Listen, right now, I am in one of the sweetest spots that you can be in life because I absolutely love my job. There was a time where I could not say that. And I know the thousands of people, especially the women that I were around, that don't like their job, they actually hate their jobs, they actually drove me closer and closer to being an entrepreneur. Yeah, that's right. It was some of my friends that, because I was doing it as well, the complaining, the dreading Mondays, the you know, getting sick on Sunday night. Like, you're all fine Friday evening, you're feeling great. Even Friday, usually it's payday. You're feeling good. You don't mind going to work on Friday, at least on the Friday that it's payday. And even the Friday before payday, you're like, yeah, it's only a week away. So, you know, but then on Saturday, you're happy, you're feeling good. Sunday morning, you start to notice that you're countenance is falling a little bit. You're starting to feel a little emotional. Something physiological is happening to you. And by Sunday evening, you're a hot mess. you're actually full-blown sick now. And that's because of the dread of Monday, not wanting to go to work, hating the job. Then when you get to work, you know, somebody says something or does something that rubs you the wrong way, it can really make for very, 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 very bad situation. And then it just drags on in Tuesday. And then you spend your whole life wishing it away. Wishing Monday was Tuesday, and Tuesday was Wednesday, and Wednesday was Thursday, and Thursday was Friday. For 1-2 days over the weekend, and then to be right back at it. So I saw that over and over and over again. And I just, you know what, I said, I don't want that life. I don't want that life. And I watch people retire from these jobs that they didn't really love. And some of them didn't even live very long past the retirement. So I thought, wow, how sad is that? So you work all these years to retire, work somewhere 30, 40, 50 years, and all you talk about is retiring to have some fun. You talk about all the wonderful things you're going to do when you retire. And then you retire and live a couple of years. I mean, come on. No, I wasn't going out like that. So I was basically led, however you want to put it, pushed, drugged into being an entrepreneur, because I needed to avoid that. So as a businesswoman, though, once you get over in here, right, once you become an entrepreneur, you're like, okay, I know I didn't want that. You're like, woo, glad that's over. Now what? Now what do I do? Because remember, the company that you work for, the person who owns that company is an entrepreneur. So everything that you come to this broadcast and learn and hear and discover and understand, if you work for someone else, they're the ones benefiting from all the things that we're telling you. The freedom to enjoy your life, to take vacation when you want, the benefit of making money while you're not doing all the work. That's what happens when you have a staff. When you have any kind of staff, I don't care if it's one person, I don't care if it's your mama or your grandmama or your daughter or your son, doesn't matter. When you have a staff, you get to benefit from the efforts of others. I know network marketing, they're really, really good at this. They really got it sold up, but that's how they operate. You can build success on someone else's efforts. It's not slavery. Don't get it twisted. But it is someone else, and people want to do that. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not breaking the law. People want to do that because, guess what? The reality is, not everyone is going to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody wants to be. Not everybody should be. Because entrepreneurship is yes, you can learn to be a good entrepreneur, but I think you have to instinctively have some wherewithal to be an entrepreneur, because you have to do a lot of things. You have to have a lot of skill sets. You have to be a risk taker and all that, and, you know, be a person who, and that, even though I know it's a calculated risk, but you can't calculate every risk. Are you kidding me? Whoever told you that? No. No such thing. Because if that was the case, you would have calculated Hurricane Sandy, okay? You would have calculated 9/11. No. You cannot calculate every risk. You can be prepared for any risk to a degree, but you cannot calculate every risk. So business owners, we are risk takers, okay? We definitely have to be self-nurturing, because you're not always going to be someone there to pat your back and tell you, oh, it's going to be better. You know, yes, it's great to have colleagues and coaches that will hold you accountable and be that sounding board for you. But it takes a lot to be an entrepreneur, so not everybody's going to do it. But now that you've done it, now that you are, or if you're thinking about it, then this is a good broadcast for you to tune into, because then you can learn the things that you need to do in order to be a successful entrepreneur. So out of all the jobs that I've ever held in my life, being an entrepreneur has been the most rewarding, the most satisfying career choice for me. But it may not be for you or for others, but it is for me. Now, if it is for you, if you are like me and you want to have control of your own destiny, then it is for you, okay? But not everybody wants to control their own destiny. They like linking up with big corporations or companies, which is wonderful. That's nothing wrong with that. I'm married to a man who works for a major corporation, and he loves what he does. He loves his job. He loves going to work every morning. He's up early. We've been married 23 years, and I can't remember I cannot count on one hand the times he has taken off work. If he did, it was he took a vacation day, and he went and did something with it. But just to take off work, no, he doesn't do that. So yeah, that tells me he loves his job, all right? And he loves what he does. So just because you work for someone else doesn't mean you can't have passion about what you do. Like for me, for instance, I love training. I like training, leading a workshop, facilitating, so much so that that's what I'm getting my PhD in, training and performance improvement. So that's how much I love it. I've putting time and effort and money into it. So, but if some big corporation was to offer me a job working for them as their trainer, I possibly would take it because I love training. Okay? I love training that much. So you have to consider those things. But for those of you who are entrepreneurs who you have to work on your own, you want to run your own company, be your own boss, set your own standard for the income that you want to create for yourself. Now, at this level, it's not like I get a paycheck. And somebody can say, oh, how much do you make? It's not how much you make, it's how much can you create. For those of you, then you need to network. You need to network. And here's another tip about networking. It's not a one-time deal. You don't do it. You don't go to some one big, 3,000-4,000 person event, grab up a bunch of business cards, and then skip off into your Mary's entrepreneur land. It doesn't work like that. Networking is an ongoing activity, much like taking a bath. You do it every day, right? So, networking is ongoing. Keep that in mind as you're networking, okay? Understand that networking is a skill that you can develop. Yes, you can become good at it because you could spend a lot of time. What you think is networking may not really be networking at all, okay? So, a couple of tips that I want to give you about networking. I want you to think about, where are these networks taking you? What type of benefit, what value are you receiving back from your networking efforts? So I want you to keep, now here's the coach in me coming out. I want you to take a journal. In my book, Release Your Power, I talk in there, chapter 3, writing it down. Because I believe that you need to write things down so that you can see where you're going with it. You can see, you can sort of track things. And I talk a lot about that in my coaching program, tracking your growth, tracking your progress. So I want you to get out a notebook, and I want you to do a networking journal. Yeah, so you may as well go to, right now, the stores do have a lot of those things on sale because school is starting soon. But I want you to go to the store. If you're going to be, and especially those of you who are a part of my coaching program, I definitely want you to get a couple of journals. You can get a 5-subject notebook if you like and label each section of that notebook, or you can get separate ones. But I want you to journal your networking activities and the value from that activity. So it's not always monetary. Maybe you didn't get a client at the moment. So we had a big networking event on Saturday at the Marriott Hotel, and there were women there. There were a few men as well. And so what networking should do, okay, as a business owner, networking can result in, definitely it can result in business sustainability. So in other words, the more you network, the more contacts you could possibly have. Therefore, those contacts could parlay into profits through, now, you network, right? That's just one piece of it. But then there's the follow-up, and then there's the follow-through that has to come after the networking. The networking is almost the simple, easy part. Okay, you go to an event, you meet some people, you get their business cards, you shake their hand, you introduce yourself, they introduce themselves, they tell you what they do, you tell them what you do, you find that you may have some commonalities, or you may find that you have a solution to their problem. Maybe they have a solution to your problem, but how do you follow up with that person? And how do you follow through with that person? That's where a lot of people get stuck, or that's what a lot of people lose. Therefore, the networking event, it really didn't net anything. So it was a minus net, basically. They went to the event, got some business cards, don't know where those cards are, or even if you came home and you dumped all those cards into a database, because you could potentially do that. You could sit down, you could open up your Excel spreadsheet or a Word document, make some columns and rows, put those names, put how you met them, something you want to remember about them. And you can do that. But if there is no follow-up, if there is no follow-through, it's just a database full of names, numbers, and cute little statements by their names. There has to be. Here's a big tip. These are my two biggest tips for today. It has to be follow-up. Okay? Part of the following up might be creating that spreadsheet, creating that database, putting them in categories, segmenting the groups of people that you've met. That could be part of the follow-up. The follow-up could be leaving a voicemail, sending a text message, sending an email. That could be the follow-up. But the follow-through is when you've actually made contact with the person through your own efforts, or maybe they've reached out to you. You've made contact with them, and you've actually scheduled some type of activity to be done with that person. So, for instance, let's just say I'm a trainer, right? I train people. I train employees, staff, teams. Now, let's just say there was a person that I had met, and they, as a matter of fact, this is a real story. Hey, as a matter of fact, I need to follow through on a couple things. It just got me thinking here. But let's just say I meet someone who has a team of employees, a team of MLMs or what have you, and they say to me, Oh, yeah, you're a trainer? Oh, a motivational speaker, a life coach? Oh, I would love to have someone come in and speak to my team, or someone to come in and do a workshop for my team. Okay, great. Okay, well, good. I would love to do that. Okay, well, here's my card, blah, 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 blah. Now, the next thing, again, would be for, on my end, I would have to now go and set up some type of way to follow up with this person, this leader, email or what have you, right? Let them know I'm interested. Let them know, see how they're going. The follow-up is kind of like a touching base. How are you? Nice to have met you yesterday at the event. We spoke about blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe we can get together and have coffee. Maybe we can get together and have tea. Maybe we can get together over a light lunch. Try not to do those heavy dinners with people you just met or somebody you just meet, but a light lunch, just say a light lunch. You know, not something where you're sitting there cutting steak, got lobster juice dripping off from your, no. Just a little light lunch, you know, a little snacky type thing. Okay, so that's following up. And you can follow up for a little while. That might also be known as rapport building. Get that rapport going. Get that relationship started. Because people love doing business where there's some sort of a relationship. And people do business with people they know and people they like. So, rapport build. Get in there. Meet those individuals. And, you know, and then after you do that, you had a few conversations, whether it was a virtual conversation or live, the next thing is now to follow through. So then the next step would be to send them some kind of a proposal for what you've proposed, because you already proposed what you would do for them back at the networking event. You mentioned it, but now you had to build that rapport. And so now you can actually follow through with them. Okay? So these are, you know, some very basic networking tips that I'm giving you, but these tips work. Okay? I could come on here. Listen, you can trust and believe me. You can go to Google, right? G-O-O-G-E-L-E. You can go to Google and type in the words networking, okay? Networking for success. Networking your event. You name it. You can go there and do that. You don't need me for that. You don't need to get up at 7 a.m., tune into the All About Entrepreneurs show for a list of something that you can go on the internet and get on your own anytime, okay? So that's not what I'm giving you this morning. I'm not giving you any lists of those things. I don't like that. I could do it, but you can get that on my website probably. Not today, of course, but I can. You want me to cut and paste one of those and put it on my website? Absolutely, I can do that. It's not a problem. All right? I know there's some value in that because some people, they don't want to go look it up themselves. They'd rather just go to the one source, so that's fine. I'll put those kinds of things there for you. Right, you can go to my website. I just recently updated coachlalisa.com. Or you can go to release-your-power.com. And so there's a few others, but I won't name them all today. But back to this networking. So I'm not going to give you some list, but I will give you actual things that work. These are things that I've done. These are things that I know other people do. And these are people that I know who are in business for a very, very, very long time. One of my good friends, she's been in business over 30 years. Right? She has a bookstore, some of you know of it, right here in Hillside, New Jersey, over 30 years. In business in the same spot. Okay? That's saying a lot for a bookstore. But she serves a unique segment of the population. It's a Christian bookstore. And so she knows who her customers are. Okay? Some people go into business, and one of their biggest problems is that they don't know who their customer is. So therefore, you don't even know who to network with. And even if you do network, you don't know what to network about. So one of the things is, yes, you do. You're right. I agree with you. You have to find who your customer is. So, for instance, she knows who her customer, for the most part, yes. Will she have some stragglers? Absolutely. But for the most part, she knows that her customer are churches. Churches and people with ministries. So she can easily target her customer. Are there people who come into her bookstore who are not, do not have a church? Absolutely. Okay, but again, the fact that she is a Christian bookstore, she knows who and where her audience hangs out. And even if she didn't know, that would be her job to find out. She would need to figure it out. But she already has it figured out. She's been there 30 years. Now, she'll come onto the show at some point in time. As a matter of fact, she's going to be one of the persons that we're going to interview and have that discussion about being a woman owner. And then there's the dry cleaners in Cincinnati. You'll hear me talk a lot about it. Custom Care Dry Cleaners. The sole proprietor is Hope Harper. Now, she has, you know, all kinds of cleaning machinery, cleaning machines. And, well, I worked in a dry cleaners when I was about 18-ish. So I know a lot of, I worked there for like 18, 19, 20. So I know a lot about the dry cleaning business. Yeah, I worked there almost up until I went into the military. I worked in dry cleaners. So I know a lot about the dry cleaning business. It's hard work, very, very hard work. And so she, too, has been in business for a long time. Well, she's been in business close to 7 years. I think she's coming right up on her seventh year in February, seven or eight. In February. And the beautiful thing about that, let's see. Yeah, it must be seven. Because she got the business the year after our mother passed away, and she passed away in 05. And so she opened the business in 06. Yes, absolutely. So there you go. That's exactly how that went. Now, you can definitely be successful in business. But both of those people, and I know many other people who've had their businesses for a long time, they had to network. And you want to be successful, you too have to network. Now, in the dry cleaning business, she knows who her customer is, for the most part. Her customer is everybody that wears clothes that are too expensive to throw into the wash. Okay, so pretty easy to find out who her customer is. She doesn't have to, but there are many other people who use dry cleaning. For instance, hotels, they sometimes dry clean their uniforms. Well, to them it's dry cleaning, but we know the dry cleaner just probably throws it in the washer. But it's those kind of people. Anybody with a uniform, any team, company, what have you, with uniforms, dry clean. People dry clean their wedding gowns, their draperies, things that they can't do at home. So that's pretty much who uses the dry cleaners. So therefore, she pretty much knows who her audience is. So now she knows how to network with them. But how do you network with them? So that's what we're talking about. Networking tips of success. Networking tips of success. So I've already given out a few networking tips for today, such as the tip that, you know, networking is not a one-time event. It's not a one-shot deal. You have to do it continuously, on and on and on. Also, keep in mind, remember that you must network if you want to be a success, because you have to get the word out about your business. And unless even if you had really, really big advertising dollars, people like to buy from people that they know or they like. You know, people like to do business with people that they either know or that they like. So you have to network. I mean, really, Your business may be doing well, even. You may think you're doing great. You may be. And you, let's just say you don't network very much, if at all. And you say, but my business is fine. My business is doing great. That could be true. It probably is. I take your word for it. But if you wanted to do better. See, one of the traits of the entrepreneur and the reasons why we have your big IBMs and your General Motors and your Johnson & Johnson type companies is because these people continue to improve. They kept improving and doing it better and doing it bigger and expanding. See, so even if your business is doing good, quote unquote, you wanted to do better and bigger. So you still need to network. I don't know what it'll take for me to really get that through your head, but you really have to network constantly. And like I said, another tip that I gave you, networking is not just for a restaurant or a conference hotel room. It can happen literally anywhere. No, really. I remember when we were using the office space over in Elizabeth and we networked with the postal service person that was coming by to drop off mail. He sent us most of our candidates for the GED and coaching program I was doing over there, a career development coach, coaching people on how to move forward, you know, from their past. A lot of people don't know how to do that. So he sent to some of our first clients. So network. The other day, I've been using the same UPS. A person distributor comes to our area all the time over the past several years when I order my books. And I said to them, after, you know, how you doing? Oh, your grass looks nice. Just a little basic conversation. Eventually, I was able to, and I don't know this person, I just know he drops off UPS. Eventually, I was able to offer him a deal with my book. So, you know, you got to just think outside the box. If you stay in the box, guess what will happen if you stay in the box? I think you know, right? If you stay in the box, you will suffocate. You will suffocate. You got to get out of that box. Don't let your business die out, all right, because you didn't network. That would be so sad and such a tragedy. I know people say small businesses have a 75% failure rate. But I think one of the reasons, one of them is we know it's the funding piece. Because, you know, part of being a small business is part of the disadvantage is that you don't get to raise huge funds. But wow, what a tragedy that the other thing is that if you didn't network, like your business could have been a bigger success if you had just a little bit, just tweaked it a little bit, just a little networking and watch the results because you're tracking it in your journal. And then watch the results and see the dynamic results of your business because that you networked, but you didn't just network any old kind of way. Okay, remember the other tips you got here today. You got to network, you got to follow up, and you have to follow through in order to make the networking worth it and to make it of some value. And then another tip is that you must do this repeatedly. If you are a business owner and a woman entrepreneur or a man entrepreneur for that matter, then the reason I say woman so much because I really focus on women, but that's because I've never been a man, so I don't pretend to know what's in their psyche. But I've been a woman all my life. So I think I have some insight after 57 years. I feel, well, I'll be 57 in November. I feel I have some insight into womanhood, into what it means to be a woman. And I've been in some interesting places where women weren't always respected. my first real experience was the military. I was in the military. I was in a mail's field. So I was a jet mechanic, and I learned a lot about men, working with them for 2 years. I worked in that department for 2 years coming out of boot camp. So a lot of times I was the only female in my squadron, we called it, in the Navy. That was my duty station. I was the only female that worked in our department. We were AMEs, aviation jet mechanics. The only woman. And even in my A school, when I was taking the training, I was the only girl in my class. There was another class. And there was a female she wasn't an AME. There was another girl, but she was an electrician. So there was another girl who was also a female during that time. We went in, because we were in boot camp together, but she was an electrician. She was an AE, I was an AME, and there had been a woman in the class ahead of me who was also female. And she did get stationed in a place where I eventually got stationed, but she wasn't there when I got there because she had gotten pregnant, and I believe she got out of the Navy. I think her husband may have been in. So I have that experience as a woman, lots of experience of being a woman and working around in a male-dominated arena. But it's pretty funny. I could go on and on with stories about that, but I won't today. Today I want to talk about the power of networking and how you can network to success. So, and you network to success by using these tips that we've been sharing with you this whole hour. In case you haven't noticed, the broadcast is an hour now. So we had to upgrade our account so that we could, and I know that Professor Terry, who's with me on Tuesdays, oh my God, he's going to be so excited because he always feels that the half hour that we've been doing the broadcast, he feels that that is way too short. So it's going to be an hour. But I would like to just take a moment. I hope you've been taking some good notes. For those of you who you really like the teachings or you like the concepts that I'm sharing with you and you want to go deeper, I want you to go to my website, CoachLalisa.com, and I want you to sign up for my coaching program where I will show you even more on how to really get that life that you want, that dream job, how to maximize you, how to expand you to levels that you would never believe. I can't even tell you. In the Release Your Power coaching program. The Release Your Power coaching program. You can go to the website, CoachLalisa.com, and you can find out details. And I want you to go there. I want you to sign up to that program. Now, for those of you, you can sign up. If you sign up today, I will let you sign up for just $9.99 down, and you can pay the balance of the program over, you know, the next 30 to 60 days, depending on 30, 60 to 90 days, depending on which program. If you choose level 1, you will have 30 days to pay the balance. If you choose level 2, you will have 60 days to pay the balance. If you choose level 3, I will give you 30 days to pay the balance of that. So that's 90. You will get 90 days to pay the balance of that one. Yes, 90 days to 4 months. I will give, you know, depending on which comes first, but certainly you can split the payment into 3 or 4 easy payments. That's on level 3. So definitely go over if you are ready to take it to another level, if you want more, because, yes, even in an hour show, we can give you a lot of information, but this is nothing compared to what you would get if you were working with my coaching program. So the coaching program is done online. There, if you purchase levels 2 and 3, they do come with one-on-one live teleseminars or live coaching sessions via the telephone if you happen to live in a state like Atlanta, California, Arizona, Tennessee, Georgia. If you live in these kind of places, Detroit, you know, Minnesota, Kansas City, it doesn't matter where. If you live in those kind of places, then it will be live over the phone. However, if you live in New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, then it could possibly be in person. I will, you know, come to you depending on if you're at level 2 and level 3. But if you're level 1, that we will do definitely, you will do over the internet. So if you want more, if you want to really release your power, because we're talking about the type of networking that I'm talking about, that networking can appear scary and frightful when you don't know how to do it. But once you release your power, those fears will go away. Once I work with you in releasing your power, because people might say, well, how do you know, Coach Lalisa, that release your power really works? Well, I know it works because it worked for me. I had to release my power. I had to transition from a high school dropout to going back to college and working on advanced degrees, several of them. I'm the one who had to go from being homeless, not being able to pay rent, not having my own place, living, you know, wherever I could lay my head. I had to go from that type of living. No, I've never lived in my car, but I've slept in my car many times because I had nowhere else to go. I've slept in hallways. So I know what it's like to go from absolutely nothing to something. You know, to go from homeless to homeowner. So I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to have to be stuck in low-paying jobs. I've been there. I had a GED, and all the jobs I could get, and I was a janitor. I worked for Silco as a janitor, mopping floors. I worked in cleaning office buildings at night. I worked at Frisch's Big Boy as a waitress. I worked in retail, as a retail sales clerk. Not saying anything's wrong with that, but the pay isn't, like, all that great. I've worked as a file clerk, as I mentioned to you, making $4 and something an hour. So I've had low paying. I was stuck, it seemed like I was stuck in these low paying jobs. Every job I got was a low paying job. And eventually, I can't take it anymore. Wow, we have just 90 seconds. I can't believe that a whole hour has gone by that fast. Well, it's been great. It's been real. And you got to keep moving on up. So definitely, if you want to work with Coach Lalisa, I advise you to go over to the website. Sign up. Don't wait. Do it now. This is a great time for you to really, really, really release your power. September is coming, new school year, new end of the year. We're getting ready to start preparing for January. We're already setting up for our big Release Your Power conference for next year. We have our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit coming back up next August. And we're planning now. We're winding down this year. We want to have a stellar, really explosive September, October, November, December. We got a whole quarter of the year, y'all. That's a lot of time, and we want it in planning. Release Your Power helps you plan and execute. Plan it out when you sign up. As a matter of fact, if you sign up today at any level, I'll throw in the Power Planner for free. It'll be an ebook you can download. I'll throw in the Power Planner extra if you sign up today at any level. Normally, you only get the Power Planner if you sign up for level 3. But today, I'll throw it in as a gift to you for signing up, for taking charge of your life. You really want to release your power? Do you really? You sure? Well, take charge of your life and take it to levels that you can never imagine. And the people that tune into the broadcast, those people that you saw on Saturday, those are women who have either been a part of the program or they've come around and they see there's real value in releasing your power. So go there until tomorrow. Don't forget tomorrow's open mic. Go tell all your friends and can come on and shamelessly promote your business in 2 minutes or less. This has been Coach Lalisa. Peace. I know, right? I end the show every single time. I have no standard way to end. So it's peace, goodbye, saranada. Take care. Have a great day.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.